This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Started my life was kind of rough. I had an awful battle. The doctor set my parents down and said my life was fragile. Perspective is the game, and Gary V the name. Just put your head down, do the work, and everything will change. Sipping tea, helping feels, yeah, that's what I wanted. Being patient, hella tricky, if I'm being honest.
See what Gary V puts in positivity. Yeah.
Everybody, I'm recording this with the potential to use it as a clip on Instagram to help other people. So just wanted to keep that in mind. Wanted to make that aware to everybody. And let's get into it. Who's got a question? Raise your hands. Maytan, just bring in people. William, how are you?
Hey, Jerry, I'm always great as long as I'm alive. How about you?
That is basically the same mindset I roll with. I'm well. What can I help you with? Any questions?
Perfect. So quick thing, in the future, when you want to record a session, you can put it in the title, that little red recording sign plus the recording. And then my question is, I'm trying to build like a super sticky community here in Clubhouse. The problem is that I don't have any content that I can use to like evergreen things or to repurpose. I have to just nonstop keep talking, and it's really starting to get exhausting. I'm just wondering if you have any tips on how I might be able to be a little bit more efficient, but also continue to build a really, really strong community. Because I mean, your fan base is one of the most loyal and loving of you on earth.
So, you know, it's funny. I look at Clubhouse a lot like I look at Twitter from 2007 to 11. And that's really where it started for me. I basically replied to every single comment that I got for 4 years. And it was an incredible amount of work. But to your point, William, like if you're going to build something meaningful, you got to put in the work. I've gone on this 4 or 5 year, maybe even six now. Yeah, actually six year health journey. And it's like every day, you know, just like eating as well as I can, working out, being thoughtful, soft tissue, stretching, muscle gain. You know, I think you may want to pace yourself in here a little bit. That might be one thing to think about, you know, going 11 hours of talking or 6 hours of talking or 9 hours of talking every day can get quite exhausting. Plus the other thing to think about is giving yourself permission to really just relax on a day or two in case it's too much is something else to think about. So you can go hard, but it's about figuring out, you know, the ability to give yourself a moment, because I think scaling the unscalable, William, is the way you actually build something meaningful.
How do I scale the unscalable?
By actually scaling the unscalable, meaning the hand-to-hand combat, the constant talking, the non-evergreen, the high touch is the game.
Got it. Okay, I'm gonna.
Right, because what you're trying to do is you're trying to win on depth, right? Because that's how you actually build something that's sticky. You know, with AKA viral videos or a content play, it's actually access and actually feeling connected. Like I genuinely feel connected to so many people within my community. It's really what ends up happening. I think you're on it. I just think you need to figure out your pace, because we all have different energies of how many hours we can put into it.
Right. It's like I've pretty much been hosting a room every single day. So we have like one of the stickiest spaces for real estate agents and brokers in Clubhouse right now. And we're getting approached by different people for like podcasts and like consulting and things like this. And then we're also really trying to build up a coalition of creators across the different spaces as well, because as Clubhouse basically prepares for monetization in 2 weeks, we want to make sure we have as strong of a grouping as possible, and that everyone in Clubhouse, the creators, ideally we can stay allies so we can have a lot of cross-pollination of audience.
I think that's great and all, but I think if you listen back to the recording of this, my big recommendation is to understand the second that you go for monetization is the second that you change your relationship.
Right. For me, it's never going to be about monetization. Clubhouse is going to monetize, but for me, my personal brand, it's never going to be about monetization, because I get enough income from my real estate streams.
Well, it's Clubhouse is not going to monetize without you sharing in that monetization.
That's a really good point. And then,
let's stay on that for a second, and I'll definitely answer this. Like, like, it's a, having allies, really when you talked about allies and other community members, what you were really talking about was creating scale for monetization, if you really think about it, which is okay. What I think I've done differently than a lot of people over the last 2007, let's call it, 14, 13, 15 years, is I've never tried to monetize directly on the person. Like, I wrote books, so a publisher paid me. I spoke, so a conference paid me, right? Even my wine thing, it's like, look, if you buy wine, cool, I'd like your business. But the core of what I do has been around brand building and community, not about the monetization. I think a lot of people are about to make massive missteps in monetization with Clubhouse because they're gonna think transactional and short term, and they're gonna think it's long term. Like, whoa, I've been fucking going hard on here for 6 months, and that shit makes me laugh because that's just not a long time.
Right, it's a blink of an eye.
Yeah, so just keep that in mind. I mean, the longer you can provide this support, don't forget, the second you're gonna come to the UI of this and there's monetized rooms and there's not, a lot of people are gonna pick the non-monetized rooms because the information is gonna be just as good. It's gonna be really hard for somebody to sell marketing and social media rooms if I'm in here putting out shit for free.
Right, absolutely, absolutely.
Or it's not gonna be hard, but it's gonna be limiting in their upside.
Right, absolutely. So with me and the collaborators that I've connected with, we have a pretty good sizable platform. So as you come to Clubhouse in the future, are there any initiatives that you want to accomplish in Clubhouse that we can assist with?
No, but I really genuinely appreciate that. I'm gonna keep moving because I got meetings soon, so I wanna get as many in. So I appreciate you, bro. Monica.
Hi, Gary.
Hi.
First of all, amazed that I made it, which is amazing because you are in my ear in the podcast for like the last 2 weeks ongoing. But I've got quite a tactical question for you. So I'm into marketing, social media. That's what I help entrepreneurs with. And I've had quite a big plans for this year in terms of scaling up and kind of getting myself out there, be seen more and things like that. Obviously, things happen out of control, lockdown, homeschooling, and just things have to shift a little bit. I'm not averse to hard work, long nights if I have to, and things like that. But I do want to make the most of what I have. So which platforms, social media platforms, and what tactics would you say are the best now for beginning of 2021? That for, should be my, let's say, top two priorities.
Monica, for transactions or for brand building?
For brand building and getting myself out there, basically getting more reach.
Well, I think you're on it right now. Clubhouse is a land grab right now, right? Like, obviously, back to your point with kids and balancing everything, unfortunately for most people, Clubhouse is a challenging platform because it requires you putting in the work. For example, for me, I'm so busy running my companies right now, I'm not putting in the hours into Clubhouse that I would like to because the land grab of attention is extraordinary. It's an incredible time, if you really know what you're doing, to start rooms, get part of rooms and really showcase your knowledge. And build incredible audience. I think Clubhouse, LinkedIn, and TikTok are the three platforms that have organic reach that are extraordinary compared to the amount of time or content you put out. Those are the three brand building platforms that I think are most significantly interesting because of supply and demand of attention. There's more attention on all three platforms than the supply of content, which is why you're getting more organic reach.
Yeah, with Clubhouse, I've only been here a week, and I have to say, I've been amazed. I've set up room twice, and I just want to kind of carry on doing it because I see how quickly it can kind of grow. And I have started to give more attention to TikTok, but it's like with everything, a million and one experts out there saying, no, focus on Instagram, no, focus on this. It's kind of like, you want to do everything.
Nobody can do everything. There's two games to play when you think about social media, or about personal brand building, or about marketing. It's where is there more attention than their supply of content? And then number two, being self-aware. I can tell you, and I'm very confident about this, that TikTok, Clubhouse, and LinkedIn are three places worth your time, because when you put your time on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you don't get as much in organic reach as you do in those other platforms. But if you're not capable of being good on TikTok, LinkedIn, and Clubhouse, then you're not gonna succeed either. If you're more great at visual pictures and infographics, then maybe Pinterest and Instagram are gonna over-index for you. So it's a game of self-awareness and strategy. You've gotta deploy both S's in this scenario. Self-awareness, do you know yourself? What will you be good at? And then strategy, do you actually know where the getting is good?
Wow, this is amazing, because I love the video. I love that part. I prefer to talk than write. And Clubhouse is pretty good.
Correct.
And I like TikTok because it's a bit, I can put my fun side to it as well.
Correct.
So I think you're right. You are spot on about the content as well on those platforms, getting us myself out there. So no, thanks for that.
You're welcome. Have a great day. Will, what's good?
Hey, Gary, thanks for taking this. Question for you. I have a 7-year-old who is obsessed with being an influencer. How do I support her and help her without being crazy, overprotective dad?
It's a great question, man. So this is a very common scenario. This has become the greatest ambition for many 7-year-olds. I think it's similar, though, to athletes and, you know, and singers and perform athletes, and their parents are more accustomed to that question, Will, than I want to be a YouTuber. A, because they know that they have to put in the work at a youth protective place, and then maybe when they're 18, something can happen, versus a 9-year-old can actually pop on TikTok and have that happen. I think for me, and parenting advice is always very challenging, because like anything, it's back to the prior question. It's always self-awareness. It's always individuals of one. It's tough to get blanket. But I'll tell you the thing that's been very clear to me as I've talked to, you know, hundreds of thousands of parents through the last 2 decades, or at least a decade for sure on this topic. I think it's about self-esteem, Will. I think you've got to get her comfortable with negative feedback. I think one of the great things of if she's gonna make a YouTube video that's private to the family, and you're gonna understand your privacy. I mean, as you know, probably with me, my 2 kids are 11 and 8, and there's no content about them out there. So everybody treats it differently. Every family makes their own rules. But I will tell you, the big opportunity is getting them accustomed to failure. It's why sports was such a good thing for kids. Getting used to losing is a really, really good thing. And a lot of societies in, you know, under performance comes from insecurity, which comes with a poor relationship to losing. And I think when we started as a parenting society 20 years ago, demonized losing and coming up with 8th place trophies, we created a lot of vulnerabilities. And so I think you protect because privacy and, you know, like 7 is a baby. However, on the flip side, even if like you make the network 25 family and friends and relatives, and when she gets 6 likes instead of 13, it's a good lesson for her to say, hey, today people didn't like your dance as much as yesterday, and that's okay. But it's okay for you to love the dance. Did you love doing the dance? It only got 6 likes, but did you love it? Getting them into a relationship where they don't over or undervalue outside affirmation as early as possible is the greatest gift a parent can give a child. Thoughts, Will?
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with you. I think it's such a hard thing to jump in, because obviously I know what's out there. I know, you know, that it's not all, you know, it's not all cupcakes and rainbows. So where would you say starting her out with, you know,
I think it's a closed network, right? It's 12 family members on TikTok, 12 family members on YouTube. You know, that's how my brain works on it. Keep it closed at first so that she can calibrate.
Sounds good. And do you think teaching her the behind the scenes stuff, the, you know, setting up the mic, setting up the cameras, like that's obviously important as well?
I would argue that it's potentially important, right? It's really neat. I think you should try, you know, because she may find tremendous interest in that. You know, that wouldn't have worked for me. if my mom did that for me, I would have been like, who cares? I'm here for the action, the human interaction, you know?
No, completely makes sense.
So,
thank you. I really
but I think it's a good explorer. Of course, Will. Have a great day. Robert.
Hey, Gary. Thank you. Thank you so much for this. Just want to take 1 second to say you have been probably the single most important person as far as business go for helping me get my things off the ground. And I just want to thank you for that, first of all.
I appreciate it. Well, for my own knowledge, Robert, because it's important, what clicked? What stood out that actually helped you?
Honestly, I launched a fashion brand in 2008 and I loved it, but then the love for it just kind of started to go. And then one day at the gym, my dad was actually in the hospital and I was just kind of at a crossroads, and I opened up YouTube and watched the, it might've been Thinktific or Teachable, something that you had out there, and literally watched, like went down a black hole of just Gary V video after Gary V video over about a 48 hour span. And it just opened my eyes up to this world of branding, social media, marketing, etc.
Yep.
And the rest is kind of a history. I literally built $250,000 social media agency. And I know a lot of people have off of your principles. So again, thank you for everything.
Of course.
My question is, I'm at a place where I know I can scale. I hate the idea of the ebooks and the downloads, and I want to continue to give info for free. Like I said, I've used kind of like your approach when it comes to that. When I doubled my business from probably $75,000 to $150,000, the thing that changed was that I found someone that just clicked and I could duplicate myself. And so I feel like that's like, I don't want to say it's a luck thing, but it's just not always, like you can't go find that person to help you scale. So like my question is, the other route would be raising prices, which I love where I am as far as pricing go. So my question is, what would you recommend would be the best route to go to the next level in terms of scaling?
Why?
Important,
but
I just wonder if you have a
business tip. Yeah, I have several. I mean, you know, why are you happy where you're at price wise?
I just like being able to serve individuals who might not necessarily have.
Well, how much is it? How much is it?
So right now, my average price point is about $2,000. For monthly social media management.
Well, that's not so affordable. Like, why not do $300?
300?
Mm-hmm. You said that you loved helping people that might not else be afforded. Mm-hmm. So at 2,000 a month, that's real coin. Why not $300?
Well, but then that would require a lot more resources and people.
Understood. So let's go a different way. Why not $3,000? I mean, you've made a subjective, arbitrary decision that $2,000 a month is a fair price.
Right.
You're making a complete subjective call. So what you're doing is you're limiting your upside on scale through, you know. So for example, me, I love managing people. I love HR headaches. I love people quitting and calling out sick. I love the grind of that, Robert. 99% of people do not. So for me, if I'm in your spot, I'm going to 1500 and I'm hiring people and I'm making less money every year, but I'm gonna stack 1500s at scale. That's what I did with VaynerMedia. Now VaynerMedia is 200 million a year, right? That's my style. But your style may not be that, and that's amazing. My style is not better, my style is my style. What I'm trying to help you with, and the reason I went with that little, you know, rope-a-dope was, if you're gonna say 300 doesn't work or 1500 doesn't work, you've just literally made a subjective opinion that 2000 works. You can go to 3500 and there's your scale.
No, that makes
makes a ton of sense.
That's what we're here for.
Thank you. And you're I gotta welcome. Say, I met you in Boise, and for people that don't know, like, the Gary in real life versus the Gary on the stage is just, like, it's almost mind-blowing how, like, humble you are in real life. So
thank you for everything you do.
Thank you,
my man.
And I'll continue to be watching. Stay well.
Thank you, bro. Hey, Charity, how are you?
Hi, good morning. Thank you so much for taking my question. So my name is Charity, and I own a women's boutique. And my issue is that for someone that is naturally very reserved, but also loves fashion, and I am working to try to build that know, like, and trust factor with my audience, how do I balance sharing the personal, you know, background story, building my story for my brand with my audience without maybe sharing too much? Like, is there a balance to it,
Charity,
of what I should be doing?
Charity, I have two children, 11 and 8, and you don't even know what they look like.
Right.
I'm the most public private person on earth.
Right. That is it. Like, how am I public but still private?
By sharing what you want to share and by not sharing what you don't want to share.
Okay.
I mean, people make me laugh. They're in complete control. Charity, you know where people get hurt? And I don't think this is your situation, but I'm trying to help a lot of people because there's a bunch of people listening. People are full of shit. They want the likes, so they're willing to wear skimpy clothes. They want the likes, so they're willing to show their cute kid. They want the likes, so they're showing their dog. They want the likes, so they're showing where they live, what they're flying, what they're, like, you're in control.
Right.
You don't want to share, don't share. You want to share, share. And if you want to grow, share as much good stuff around what you do want to share and as much volume as you can handle and as much, you know, strategy as you can learn.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it's something that, you know, I am, of course, I've not been in business, but I'm just trying to, you know, put myself out there, but in a way that's comfortable for me.
The end. The end. Like, listen, I could be the best social media strategist on earth, but if I tell you to dance on TikTok and you can't dance because I can't fucking dance, that's not going to work.
Right.
Like, just because people are like, you have to build your personal brand, cool, but you're going to do that on your rules, not on somebody else's. And by the way, there's a billion businesses out there that are crushing that the person behind it isn't out and about. It's just a very incredible opportunity, but it doesn't mean it's required.
Right. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate.
It makes sense, right, Charity? There's this incredible opportunity, but it doesn't mean it's required. And I think that's where you have to figure it out. I would tell you, as somebody who sees the incredible opportunity, figure it out in your own skin, talk about it your own way, and be you.
Yes.
Like, if, you know, some people are monotone. Like, I just happen to be very boisterous. But I'll be honest with you, Charity. I'm very misunderstood and underrated for my business acumen because people think I'm a caricature. Like I would argue that my big personality undermines my intellect every day of my life. You know, and when you have pride and feelings and a human, you know, people dismiss, you know, my 25 years of building actual businesses on, like, getting lucky on social media. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people are always going to have judgment. You got to do you.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're
I
welcome.
Appreciate it.
You got it, Charity. Have a great day.
Thank
you. Austin.
Hey, Gary. I really appreciate this. This is, like, an amazing opportunity. I just wanted to thank you real quick for allowing me to be on here. You know, I actually took a lot of your words, and that's what inspired me to create my YouTube channel. You know, because just real quick, a little background, I'm active duty military, coming from a really small town in southern West Virginia. So, you know, statistically, I should not be, you know, financially free or anything like that because military makes crap and all that. But that's part of my theme of my YouTube. right is I love talking about finances, real estate investing, stock market investing, all this stuff to, you know, really lay down that financial path. And my question to you is, where I have a really small following, and a lot of the people I talk to, I've been fortunate to talk to a few big YouTubers, and they, you know, tell me, you know, find your theme, find what sets you apart from other YouTubers and stuff to, you know, really catch people's attention. And one of the aspects I follow from you is, you know, always focus on giving people value, and that's what I really love to do. But I don't really have, you know, an audience to say, hey, I like this, or hey, you should do that, or whatever. So how do you find, you know, the thing that just naturally sets you apart from other people without trying to you're trying to do that? You know what I mean?
Of course I do. First of all, I think that naturally happens by being a human being. First of all, thank you so much for your service, Austin. I really mean that. Number two, back to the question, you're going to be you. You're going to be set apart by you to begin with. I think, again, there's general advice that sometimes puts people down the wrong path. I think what you need to do is build an audience first. And I think it's very hard to do that on YouTube. It, you know, first of all, it takes a long time and it takes a lot of craft. And I think you being on Clubhouse right now, if I'm you, I'm starting a room right now called like Military Investment Advice and just sitting. And at first it's six people that were from the military or grew up in the military or military. Like, I think you just find places that you can naturally build audience. I think you can build a much bigger audience on Clubhouse than you can on YouTube every day of the week right now for the next 6 months. I don't think, I don't want you to make a decision that it has to be YouTube.
Okay. Yeah, that's really awesome. I honestly have thought about that. The main thing is, yeah, like you said, like if I'm just starting a room and I'm sitting there talking to myself, like I didn't know how to, you know, really just
the best way to start talking is to be a great listener. When nobody knew who I was on Twitter, all I did was reply to people on Twitter about wine because that's what I knew. What you can do is first become a contributor to a lot of rooms that talk about finance and investing, speak towards that military angle, and start amassing. I mean, you've already got, you know, 76 followers in here. Nobody knew who the fuck you were. You probably said some shit that mattered in some room and people started following you. I think you need to become a contributor before you become a host. Go to dinner parties before you throw one. If you moved to a new town and everything was about the dinner party scene, you couldn't just throw a dinner party when you first moved in. Nobody would show up. Nobody knows who you are. You just moved in. What you want to do is talk to somebody at the market and then they invite you to their dinner party, right? Then you go to that dinner party and you do a nice job conversating. 18 months later, you're throwing a dinner party. Got it?
That's awesome, man. Yeah, I'll definitely do that. Thank you again.
You got it, brother.
I really just want to thank you. Your words really do resonate with a lot of people and the power of your voice is just incredible. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for that. Thank you, brother. Gina.
Good morning, Gary. How are you?
I'm quite well. How are you?
I'm great. I will try not to cry. It's the Italian in me. I want to say that I worked for a company 10 years ago, and my amazing boss said to me, do you know who Gary Vee is? Because if you don't, you need to. And you've really influenced the way that I hustle over the last 10 years. So it is an honor to talk to you today. Thank you for taking the time.
Thank you so much.
I'm a voice actor, and I hustled my ass off during the pandemic last year. Landed some agents, voiced my first national commercial, and I've diversified the way I get my business. I have multiple agents across the country. I'm on a ton of casting sites. I do a ton of direct marketing, and I do social media marketing. The thing about voice acting is it can be very up and down. I'll book a lot and then nothing, and in those slow moments, I make myself crazy saying, you know, what else could I be doing? What more could I be doing? Is it spend more money? Is it join new sites? Is it be 42 years old and create a TikTok account? I don't know. So I'm wondering, how do you get focused and formulate a plan in slower moments?
You know, first, for people that are living this kind of life, you have to be very thoughtful about how you manage your money, right? Because I notice a lot of people that run hot and cold don't spend money properly, which then when they have cold periods, creates an enormous amount of anxiety. So that's one thing that's on my mind for you to think about that it's hidden to a lot of people that live this lifestyle, which is okay, right? Some people have different skill sets of managing money, but it's a very obvious one to me that causes issue. Two, for me, it's all about brand building. I loved what I heard from you. Like, I would be, you know, when it's slow, that's a day when I can go on Clubhouse for 5, 6, 7 hours and talk about voice acting and host a room for 9 people or reach out cold to other, you know, voice actors or whatever networking is appropriate within my ecosystem. I think the thing I think about is brand building and transacting and managing money around it. The end. It's a very simple game. Every time you're, you know, it really can be that simple, Gina. Like, when you don't have anything brewing, you're building awareness, starting a podcast, doing a YouTube show, DMing unlimited podcasts to be on to speak about voice acting, you know, like just grinding, you know, working because I can't be on a job. Then when I'm doing a job, I'm doing a job. But most of all, I think the undertone to this whole community is money management, because I just see it time and time again, people overspending when they've got dollars coming in, which makes them vulnerable when they go through a 3-month drought period.
That makes a lot of sense. I appreciate that. And I just want to say you've truly pushed me through some ups and downs over the last decade. I appreciate it so much. Thank you.
Thank you so much for that, Gina. Really. Have a great day. Jerry.
Hey, Gary.
How are you?
Long time. I just want to say thank you. You've significantly changed the trajectory of my life, and I really appreciate it. Just from all the content you put out.
Thank you.
I took over my parents' restaurant, and we've, you know, been able to significantly trajectory over that. Really, a lot of it based off your content.
Thank you.
Strategies.
Thank you, brother.
I am in Iowa, and here we don't have any professional sports teams, so our big team is the Iowa Hawkeyes University here.
Yep.
And we're in college town, and we have unique opportunities where this, you know, they come and eat at a restaurant a lot, and then once they graduate and it's, you know, legal for them to promote or be a, you know, kind of sponsor, or we sponsor them. And we have athletes that are willing to do that, and that's kind of like the unique opportunity that we have. I'm just wondering, like, is there any, like, do you have any advice on how to partner, or what's the best way to utilize that?
Well, do you know about the upcoming law change and rule change?
Yeah, hopefully that's changing soon, right? Like, I've been trying to follow it. And
so it's called name, image, and likeness, NIL. Like, it looks like as of this August, if everything keeps going smooth, college athletes will be able to be compensated. So I think your whole world's about to flip upside down.
Yeah. So how would you start planning seeds? Or like, now we have some athletes that just graduated. They were seniors, and now a couple of them will probably end up in the NFL, and we're in conversation with them. I just don't know, like, but for a restaurant, it's similar to like Chipotle style where
there's no rules, right? You could say I'll give you food for free for life if you give me 5 Instagram posts, right? Like, and you know that they're gonna.
So is it just like where it's more like commercially, or is it like just them coming to eat, or just them saying that they eat there?
No, I think it's commercial. I think it's influencer marketing for a restaurant. I think they come in, they take a photo with your burrito or your hamburger or your coffee. Yeah. Like, I think it's classic, you know, influencer marketing, in my opinion.
Okay.
Tagging the restaurant, things of that nature. But I think the bigger game now is that you're going to be able to, you know, do this while they're there. And as you can imagine, you know, Sean Green, when he was on campus, is better for you than when he's with the Jets, and everybody who cares is in New York and not getting their Iowa, right? I think you create, does Iowa consider their colors gold and black, or is it yellow and black?
Black and gold.
Yeah, I think you create a black and gold card. Here's what I would do if I owned your place. You create a black and gold card, right, with a barcode, or I don't know how your POS works, but you basically say to kids, an Instagram photo in your feed that you can't delete for every time you come in and use it and get free food.
Yeah.
Right? And that's it. And then you just monitor it. I don't know if you can track it. So like, again, if Derek Pagel came in and buys too much food because he's hooking up all his friends, you cut it off. You have conversations, a human combo, like, hey, for yourself, maybe a +1, occasionally +3, because, you know, a group of 4 friends, but don't be a pig. We'll keep an eye on it. And away you go.
Oh, sorry.
Make sense?
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks, Gary.
You got it, brother. Take care.
Yeah, we'll see
you. Zahara, how are you?
Hi, Gary. I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm extremely well. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much for hosting this room. I think we all really appreciate it. So I'll try to be quick. My question is, for myself personally, I have been in international development for about 15 years. I've traveled the world on no money. I work in film and television now. And when there are so many facets of my life where I know I could kind of like add value to other people, when you're talking about building a personal brand, how do you, like, what strategy is best to use? Because there's so many different facets. Would it be better to focus on building different platforms for each, like, section of my life?
No, no, I think you put out your whole life, but to your point, if you love music and dancing, doing that on TikTok is smarter than doing that on LinkedIn. Right, so every platform has its slang, but I think about it as real life. You're you, and if you're going to a fancy dinner with executives, you're gonna dress a certain way, you're gonna talk a certain way, you're gonna act a certain way. If you're going with your girlfriends to Vegas for the weekend, you're gonna be a different version of yourself. If you're hanging out with your siblings or parents or grandmother, you're gonna be a different version. If you're, you know, at a festival, like, so, always be you, always be prepared to share any part of you, but recognize the context of the room that you're in, the platform that you're in, what's the slang, what's the style, what's the vibe of that ecosystem.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. And so this is what I'm kind of having trouble with, because for example, like, I come onto Clubhouse and we're having all of these like social impact conversations where there's so much value being added. And then when people transition over to my Instagram, it's way more about my travel, which doesn't really kind of...
That's okay, though. Like, people, yeah, that's okay, though. So? I know so, which is better than I think so, comma, I think it's time that you put in some of your social impact on your Instagram and be okay with getting 47 likes instead of 293. Everyone's so fucking in jail based on trying to get the same amount or more social math transactions per post that they've boxed themselves in. I mean, there's literally people that are dressing, you know, guys that take their shirts off because they know they're going to get more likes, even though they want to talk about sports. I literally have guys saying things like, Gary, I want to put out sports cards content, but I did it once. It got 18 likes. I deleted it right away. But if I put out my fucking shirtless photo, I'm going to get 4,000. I'm like, well, what do you want? Like, do you want girls gawking at you? Like, do you need that? Or do you want to move yourself into a career of like buying and flipping sports cards? Because if you do, you better start posting that way. Zahara, my entire audience in 2009 for 3 years was built around wine. When I started making videos about business, that's not true. 15% liked it, but the 85% were like, what the fuck is this? Like, I don't care about that. Talk about Pinot Grigio. Like, you want to, like, when people click on your, you know, on your Instagram, I mean, it really hurts you, because like when I click on your profile right now, you don't even have your socials connected because you're insecure about that vulnerability.
Well, the thing is about 10 years ago, I institutionalized funding for villages in Africa, and so I wanted a platform and ran for Miss Universe Canada. And then I started getting death threats from the Arab community. Mm-hmm. So I like literally became super private for a very, very long time.
I respect that.
And then now I'm at the point where I just don't give a fuck. And there's a lot of information, especially towards, you know, the Arab female population, that I would love to share, because I feel like I've shown my liberation in that sense.
You should. There's so much there. I mean, I invested in Muslim Girl for that reason, because there needs to be far more conversation around this. It's a very, if for the people listening that don't know, it's extremely challenging in a world where people can hide and be cowards to be a woman to begin with, to add being a Muslim woman. I mean, it's very challenging. Luckily, you're at the part of your life now where you recognize 99.99999999999% of that feedback is from people that are hurt and they're just sharing their hurt and trying to tear you down, and you're now ready to live your life.
Oh yeah, 100%.
So go live it.
For sure, for sure.
So go live it. I gave you the answers.
Amen, brother.
All right, see
okay,
ya.
Well, thank you. Appreciate
you're welcome.
It.
Take care. Nicole.
Hey, Gary. Thank you so much for inviting me up here. I am a huge fan of yours, and I really do attribute a lot of my success to a lot of your practices, especially Jab, Jab, Right Hook. But I run a boutique real estate brokerage in Houston and also a few other complementary ancillary companies. I'm really struggling with being mindful of my sanity while being kind to myself with setting boundaries. As a mom of three kids, how can I still add maximum value and continue to give while being careful not to overextend myself? I feel like as moms, we have to be perfect moms and perfect entrepreneurs.
Yeah, I mean, you're welcome. So I think this is an issue for everybody, and it pops up quite a bit in the mom community. There is no perfect, Nicole, right? Like, you know that. I think it's about how you balance your judgment on yourself. Let's make this a combo, not just a standard question. Like, when I say that, Nicole, like, you do understand what I'm saying, right? Like, you're the judge and the jury. I mean, what every OG parent will tell you anyway is, no matter how much you try, your kids are gonna blame you for everything anyway. And I actually think that's a liberating kind of comment. And I think, I hear in the mom community a lot, like, you don't get it. We have to be a perfect mom and a perfect, entrepreneur. And I'm like, no, I don't think you, this is when I talk to my friends, I'm like, I don't think you get it. Everybody has that. There are dads that feel like they have to provide the finances if they have a stay-at-home mom, or vice versa. There are moms who are the entrepreneur, the mom, and the breadwinner. There are people who are insecure about their looks, and they're like, you don't get it. When you're 380 pounds, the world, like, there are minorities. There, like, white males have plenty of their own mishigas too. Like, you know, everybody's got stuff. And I think it's this judgment on ourselves that is the ultimate game. Like, I think you just have to realize, if you have good intent and you're trying as hard as you can, if you have a bad Tuesday or a bad May or a bad 2021, it's still gonna be okay. And once humans understand that, then shit gets good.
Wow, thank you so much. I mean, I think what you said is definitely spot on. I am definitely my own worst critic when it comes to feeling like I have to do everything all at one time.
100, like, even the way you asked the question and even the way you read it, like, I just could taste it. Like, you're the judge of you. Once you start accepting yourself for your efforts and your intent instead of the output that is judged by the outside, you're judging yourself because you're overvaluing other people's opinions, Nicole.
Thank you so much, Gary.
Nicole, I think this is, yeah, I think this is going to help people. So I'm keeping you on. Like, you understand what I'm saying, right?
Oh yeah. 110%. Definitely my own worst critic.
Yeah. And but why?
It's definitely something that I've been working on.
But why? And you'll see, if you play this out, it's very likely because you're overvaluing other people's opinions, whether that's your mother, whether that's your sister, whether that's your best friend, whether it's the community. You need to get into a place where you just don't value their opinion on your motherhood and your entrepreneurship.
Yeah, I definitely need to reevaluate the people that I have around me and put myself in a better place to where I can, I have people cheering for me versus people who are, I'm constantly struggling to be like, so yeah,
Nicole, 100%. And Nicole, let's stay here because I think you're helping a lot of people right now. You know, yes, you can audit your circle and start to focus on that. You could also change the narrative, which is when Sally Magoo is making a snarky comment for whatever reason, you could really genuinely be like, Sally Magoo, I really appreciate that. And I'm sure it's coming from a nice place. But you worry about parenting your kid and I'll worry about parenting mine.
Yeah, actually I was just in a situation with that this week and I had to exit myself from the situation because, as a mom, it's really hard to get parental criticism from somebody else who feels like they're doing a better job than you. Yeah.
And don't forget, parenting is like a sports game. that mom may be thinking they're doing a better job than you, but the score is 17-7 in the first quarter of a basketball game. One thing that might help you, Nicole, is say, that's cute, but like, let's see how these kids' lives turn out. And oh, by the way, parents having their self-esteem wrapped up in what their kid's doing is the ultimate vulnerability. You can be proud and love your kid, but like, too many parents are deep in this shit now, and whether the kid is nice, dresses slutty, is good at sports, is not a good student, all that shit has gotten way too close. The reason we've gotten too deep in this shit, people really had better boundaries in the past. Kids went outside, parents didn't know every fucking little thing. I had 800 things brewing. My mom knew none of them. And I think that's another thing for you to layer into this conversation, Nicole. If you think that Sally Magoo, who is judging you, has any fucking clue of what's going on with their child, that makes me laugh.
Yeah. Yeah, that hits home. My daughter is a competitive cheerleader, and that is a really, really tough field to be in. It's like the Dance Moms world, if you've ever seen that show. And that's definitely not my scene. Like, I stay in my lane, I do my work, and it's definitely tough because not only are they in their kids' business, but they're in everybody else's
right.
It's
unfortunate. And really, once you flip your mind into feeling compassion for them instead of anger towards them, your life will get way better. When I come across that in my life, I smile with kindness and I'm like, I really appreciate your interest, but I've got this and I really wish you and your family nothing but good. And the conversation's over.
That is incredibly powerful. I'm definitely going to start practicing that.
If you practice being the bigger person and shutting the door for any engagement, then you're kind and candorous and you're moving on. You're not giving them any ammo for engagement. People's overreaction to that behavior is what feeds the oxygen of that behavior. When you say, listen, Karen, I really appreciate it. And I'm sure you're a wonderful person. And from your perspective, I can see how maybe you came to that conclusion. But as you can imagine, just like I don't know everything about your daughter, you don't know everything that's going on. And I promise you, I feel very comfortable in the way this is going for the happiness of my child in 100-year period, not 100-day period. So I appreciate it. And if you ever want to talk about things, it's cool. Like that kind of talk. Got it?
Yeah, 100%. Thanks so much, Gary.
You got it. All right, Jesse. What's good?
Hey, what's up, Gary? Thank you for the opportunity to just ask you a question and open up this room. And thanks, Zane, for bringing me up. So my question is, you talk about a lot how to watch, let's say, what you do, not what you say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's the algorithm here. I haven't seen you a ton here. So I just wanted to know what your opinion was on Clubhouse.
I'm obsessed with it. I think it's a remarkable platform and I'm devastated that I'm so busy actually. Like one funny thing about me, Jesse, is I'm such a prolific content producer, but it's because I built a strategy 7 years ago and built out a team that allowed me to do it. Brother, I am literally in meetings 12 hours a day. So I don't have the time or capacity to do what I did in 2007-11. Which was live on Twitter, which let me do it. But I'm telling you right now, I would spend every minute I could on Clubhouse right now building community.
Okay. Do you see it like the way you talk about LinkedIn and TikTok?
Yes, I see it exactly that way for the people that have something to say and are good at communicating by voice.
Okay. Probably the reason why you're probably not on here as much, you can't repurpose the content.
Correct. This is not a distribution platform. This is a platform to actually engage. And right this exact second, I'm challenged for time. However, I literally scheduled 4 8:30 to 9:30s this week to be on Clubhouse because I'm that passionate about building up. And as a matter of fact, for everybody who's listening right now, tonight actually, this is a good promo. And Benji, I'll try to get to you. It's so fun to have you in here. But I do have a 10:15 with a client. But tonight, from 8:15 to 9:15, I have a huge talk with all my Vayner sports athletes in a room. So I'm really trying to hack Jesse because I really believe in it. But to your point, the reason you haven't seen me on here as much, I mean, I was aware of it in March. Swan, who's in the chat here, got me, you know, locked, you know, again, March, I was just trying to make sure my company was afloat, but I saw the Silicon Valley crew that I've seen so many times jump on, and I was like, fuck, I got to get there. It's happening. My friend Swan, who's down here, finally like was like, yo, you got to get your shit together. Got me the invite. I jumped in July. I did a couple things. I enjoyed it, but I was just too deep in fixing my company because we were going through COVID, and I had a lot of responsibilities and family stuff. I just couldn't get there, but I really stepped up a little bit here by comparison in 2021, and I'm trying to carve out more and more and more time. But to your point, what we're seeing is me not being able to live my thesis because the land grab of attention here is extraordinary. I'm all about it. I'm about that life. I just have to put in the reps, and me finding the time right now is extremely challenging, but you should be living here as much as you possibly can. And so should all 2,000 people that are in this room.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Of course. I hope you have the best day. Benji, I'm going to get you in real quick.
Rapid fire 30-second answer, Gary.
You got it, brother.
Hey, thank you so much for what you're doing for the community. When I was on your podcast, you asked me a unique question about percentages, how important title, thumbnail, and content is. I'm going to do the same for you. What is the percentage of time you should be spending on these different platforms, from YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, to LinkedIn, and now Clubhouse? Go, percentage-wise.
So Benji, great question. Let me ask you a question. Of the platforms you're on, which one gets the most organic reach because you've already, because I know you have a profile and I know YouTube's one of them, has the most organic reach currently based on the algorithm and the community that you built?
Well, definitely YouTube, but second is now Clubhouse.
Makes sense. So to me, Benji, if I'm you, I would probably create a lot more YouTube videos. Notice how earlier I said to somebody, hey, start making Instagrams that don't do as well, but accomplish what you want. If I'm Benji, I'm putting out way more YouTube videos around Clubhouse, around LinkedIn, and around TikTok, because those are the three places where organic reach is through the roof, and so that you can diversify and build up profiles on all three. Make sense?
Totally. Thank you so much, Gary. It's great to talk to you. Thank you.
Love you, pal. All right, everybody, thank you so much for this. I'll be back tonight, but it's very narrow. It's a sports conversation, 8:15 to 9:15 Eastern. Vayner Sports is doing a pretty cool like jam session for people to listen into. Zane May and Tan, thank you so much for moderating. Thanks for being part of my team. And I just wanna thank, you know, all of you that were in here throughout this conversation. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day. Thank you for the 2,000 plus that joined us. Thank you, Dustin, who's recorded this. Hopefully we can get some clips out of it. Swan, I see you in there. Thank you, Matt. Always good to see you, brother. Love seeing your face, Hillman. Hope everybody has a great, great day. Please hit me up on Twitter, Gary VEE right now. I'm going into a meeting and I want to feel the feedback from this session. So hit me up with @GaryV, use the hashtag Clubhouse to give me your feedback on how this session was. And I hope you get into the next one. I think I'm doing it tomorrow. Let me triple check. Yes, tomorrow, 8:30 to 9:30. I hope to see you here. See ya. All right, episode's over. Please leave a review and subscribe up on Apple. It would mean a lot to me. Thank you very much.
Hey, podcast. Joe from Team Gary here. Today's highlighted review is The GOAT by Alexandria. Gotta give Gary the 5-star rating. This is the GOAT of entrepreneurs. He does the most to deliver solid, valuable guidance to as many people as possible and does it all in a highly entertaining and inspirational way. Genuinely thankful for this man, what he stands for, and what he continues to share. Much love, Alex. Keep those reviews coming. We could highlight yours next.